Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, howdy, howdy, folks. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Today is September 11th, the infamous September 11th. Hope everyone's doing very well today. Going to be talking about a couple different subjects. Of course, 9/11 is going to be one of them. My name's LB Bork. I am the host. I guess we put this under People's Awareness Coalition, even though my compadre or good friend Mike Gaddy came up with the name for this segment, which we call Dare to Think Out Loud. He's with me today, along with John Brayson and Dave Scorpio, but those two aren't going to be with us right away. I think John's going to join us at the bottom of the hour, but Mike's here, and we're going to be talking about, like I said, 9/11 a little bit. And then I wanted to go over this red tsunami that's going to probably happen in the next, 2 months from now. It's going on right now, but I want to get into that a little bit and the history of it. It's kind of tied together with 9/11, as Dave mentioned. You know, 9/11 ties together with what is going to happen or is happening with the election and what's going on right now. But a lot of people don't understand that this really goes back 3,000-4,000 years. What's going on here is Mike Gaddy and I have discussed on past programs about, different things tying together as far as New York and what goes on with finances and things tied together with the Constitution. It's all tied together, which brings me to a point of something said by George Santayana, I think that's how you pronounce his name. I'm terrible with pronunciations. According to John Brichon is his French, pronunciation of his name, but he goes by Brisson for American purposes. Anyway, it gets confusing in this 250-year-old so-called country. But George said, those who forget history are condemned to repeat it. And basically, the New World Order is the Old World Order, and it's been going on a very long time. And I want to quote something from a paper I put together quite a while ago. I don't know, it's probably 3-4 years old. But my research started off with one of my mentors saying, you know, it's the seeds of Cain that all our problems stem from. And I still believe that till this day. Of course, this goes back to biblical stories and principles. But this piece is from, these few excerpts are from New World Order's New Canaan, is what I called the paper. And I title the first section. It's only a couple, 3 pages long. I'm only going to read part of it here, and the first part is history repeats itself, and just went over that from what George Santayana said. Anyway, it goes like this. It is said that history repeats itself, but at times things go underground and you just don't see it. The Civil War, quote unquote, was actually about creating an economic slave force for the Zionist faction. Fact is, the United States is still under martial rule from that noted police action. As history repeats itself, see how a force of military makes for a good economic slave force. During the second millennium BC, ancient Egyptian texts used the term Canaan to refer to Egyptian ruled colony, whose boundaries generally collaborate the definition of Canaan found in the Hebrew Bible. That's from Wikipedia. I call it Wiki Thoughts because it's a conglomeration of different people's opinions and research, and you don't know if it's true or false, but it is what it is. So it could be good or bad in a lot of cases. This next quote is from a woman's book called Biblical Peoples and Ethnicity, and it's by Anne E. Killebrew. She's an American, and she's from the East Coast. I forget where she lives, but I found the book very intriguing, and she said this: the imposition of Egyptian imperialism provided a relatively stable economic environment that was conducive to elite control over international trade in late Bronze Age Canaan. The subsequent withdrawal of Egyptian troops and administrative personnel during the second half of the 12th century BCE created a political and economic vacuum ripe for the ethnogenesis of a new ethnic identities and of new ethnic identities and ideologies among the groups that eventually emerged from the ruins of the late Bronze Age world were the Israelites. And I think this is where our story begins, and it continues to this day. Having said that, how are you, Mike?
Hey, doing pretty well, LB. You doing okay?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I feel pretty good. I've been doing some cleansing, as you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago. I couldn't make it because the herbs I was taking made me a little edgy and kind of feeling kind of weird. But I feel good today. Getting my thoughts back, you know.
We're all good.
Yep. Anyway, yeah, I wanted to set the pace for 9/11 today based on what I just laid out, you know, based on what I said about my mentor. I took his work to heart. He basically covered the administrative. See, Killebrew mentioned the administrative personnel of the Egyptian troops in Canaan back, you know, 3,000 plus years ago. What the Civil War did, in my mentor, Carl Granzy, talked about mostly was the administrative law that came into existence under the 14th Amendment. So there's real parallels here, okay? And maybe you and I might disagree, but, we both know they kind of wanted to form this empire with the Constitution. But they admit it. I've got the evidence to that effect through their code and statutes that they believe the Republic was still in place until the Civil War, even though I'll agree with you that they wanted to form this empire right out of the gate, so to speak. So, but they admit that it's not a republic now. It's still there, but they've overlaid it with the 14th Amendment aspects. So, you said during the Constitution, was it Hamilton that went to New York a bunch of times?
He left the Constitutional Convention on 5 documented occasions and went to New York.
Right.
He would respond back to various members who were still there, including Gouverneur Morris and Rufus King and George Washington.
Mm-hmm. So we know the Trade Center, or the World Trade Center, was there before they destroyed it 20 years ago. Or was it 19 years ago?
Right.
So They put up a new one. Amazing, right?
Right.
Well, we can safely say that the Trade Center, the old one, and this new one is tied to this same group of people that were controlling things back 3,000 years ago.
Right.
World trade. So I just wanted to lay the groundwork for people to have them understand that these people are very evil and very conniving and very calculated. And they've been at this a long time. So anyway, it's too bad John and Scorpio aren't here to fill in some of the blanks here, because I myself don't get into the conspiracies. I'd like to try to get the facts and do the simple groundwork like we just laid. But what might you add to the conspiracy? Let's talk about the conspiracy that happened on 9/11, because people seem to like those things as far as the evil goes, not really getting into you know, the reasons for it, which I like to get into. And, you know, the Americans have been turned into slaves because of these people, and they just don't understand it. But what would you want to add maybe to what we just kind of laid out in regards to the Constitution and New York and the conspiracy that happened on 9/11 19 years ago? Go ahead.
Well, on 9/11, they hit the financial center, which was the World Trade Centers. I think that is significant as well. And I like to look at the factual issues. And we know that on September the 10th, 19 years ago yesterday, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld went on national TV and said that there was a major calamity in the Defense Department because they had $2.3 trillion that they couldn't account for. Now, I'm not exactly sure how you lose $2.3 trillion. Let's not call it a conspiracy. Let's just look at facts. So the next day, a pilot by the name of Hani Hanjour, who couldn't land a Cessna, flies a Boeing 757 into the Pentagon, and a feat which my good friend Daryl Wayne, who was a pilot of many years, a commercial pilot, was a commercial airline pilot trainer, and he has said on my program and other programs that what they said that Hani Hanjour was able to do with a 757 was impossible, that it couldn't be done, that the structural integrity of the plane would not have taken that corkscrew turn that the government claims he was able to make. And with a person of very limited or zero experience behind the controls of a 757 to be able to accomplish that maneuver is preposterous to believe in the beginning. And then, you know, we have all of these stories about the hitting the Pentagon. And isn't it ironic that the portion of the building that the plane struck happened to be the portion of the Pentagon that had the records of the financial records that would have maybe revealed where $2.3 trillion went to?
Yes.
To me is just absolute wonderful happenstance. I firmly believe my good friend Daryl Wayne, and he said that he and other airline pilots attempted on the simulators at Hart Airfield in Atlanta, attempted on multiple occasions to complete the actual task of the planes on 9/11, and they couldn't do it. And these were men with thousands of hours of flight time in that platform, and they could not duplicate the events of 9/11, but yet we, the people, are to believe that three people who had never been behind the controls of a commercial aircraft were able to do this. So, you know, I don't know, just how gullible do you have to be to believe this lie? And this is before we get to the point about the collapse of the buildings. and how they collapsed from diesel fuel, or basically jet fuel, which is diesel fuel, a form of diesel fuel. So the buildings heated to the point at a level where the planes hit, and so then they collapse at the bottom, you know, and fall into their footprints. And then hours later, World Trade Center Building Number 7, which was never hit by anything, it collapses into its own footprint at pre-fall speed. So we know that the U.S. government, through their manipulation of the media and through the manipulation of other things, were able to get the American public to believe things which were physically impossible. So, so today we can go 19 years later and we can fully understand why a mass of people will believe every lie that this government tells about COVID and about having to wear a mask and stand 6 feet apart and all the people who are dying and all the other stuff. So it was laid many years before 9/11, but on 19 years ago, the American people told the government, tell any damn lie you want to, we'll believe it, baby. So here we are today with the same effects. And one of the things I was looking at in reference to the show today as I was doing a little research was I was thinking about that project for the new American century, which was created in a neoconservative think tank in the year 2000. And I was looking at what Tom Dalyell, who was father of the House of Commons in the United Kingdom and was one of the leading British voices against the war with Iraq. And this is what he said about this project for the new American century, this think tank. He said, this is garbage from right-wing think tanks stuffed with chicken hawks, men who have never seen the horror of war but who are in love with the idea of war, men like Dick Cheney, who were draft dodgers during the Vietnam War. This is a blueprint for U.S. world domination, a new world order of their making. These are the thought processes of fanaticist Americans who want to control the world. I am appalled that a British Labour prime minister would have gotten into bed with a crew which has this moral standing, unquote. You know, we look at that, LB, and then the other thing, I remember writing an article shortly after about the Boone, the people who had bought put options only against the airlines America and United, the airlines that were involved in 9/11, the people who had bought put options prior to that and made millions of dollars when the stocks of United and Delta fell. And these people made this money. They collected the money in various locations in Europe and other places. And that is a clear indication of prior knowledge of the events. And then we have the dancing Israelis across in New Jersey.
Yes. Who were
filming and dancing. You know, I don't know exactly. Of course, I understand now why the idiots that I see driving down the road in a car by themselves with a mask on. I now understand how completely controlled their minds are by this government. Because, and we had to know it, in 2001, if they would buy the absolutely absurd story of 9/11, we don't have to call it a conspiracy theory. The facts are there. Facts are dominant. You know, if you believe in physics and if you believe in the law of physics, you know. But then we also set the trademark because we had these people, engineers who came out after 9/11 and said, hey, this is physically impossible. It couldn't happen. We saw them lose their jobs. We saw them, you know, be taken down in the media of not believing. Yo, you know, these people can't say this. There was a engineer from BYU, of all places, who came out and said, hey, this is impossible. This could not happen this way. And so, no, we can't believe the engineers, but we will believe the government. We yeah. can't believe people with training and knowledge, but let's believe the government because, holy cow, they the government. So it's yeah. preposterous, LB, to look at this today. And if you can't see 9/11 as a precursor for 2020 and this absolute hysterical lie called COVID-19.
Yeah, it all ties together. There's no doubt in my mind. And that's why I wanted to talk about the political end of this next hour, if we could. I think you can only spend so much time on the conspiracy that we call 9/11. And it's different from conspiracy theory. And I had to maybe go back and say that, yeah, we're dealing with the same people of the time, but it's not the same religious group that exists today. And they're referred to as the synagogue of Satan from the scriptures of the Bible, like it says in Revelations. So it's a big journey, but it's still the same group of people doing this. And you know, I don't like to get caught up in history per se to the extent where people lose track of today, but it seems like you see people just being interested in today and not even maybe last week, which is very dangerous. So that's why it's good to cover these things so people have a little bit of a foundation to where we are today. But going back to what you said about the happenings of 9/11, I heard the other day that the CIA was going to be defunded just before this all happened. Did you hear about that?
No, and that's preposterous. That wasn't going to happen. You know, the BATF, when they were threatened with being joined with the FBI, they went down to Waco and killed a bunch of people to justify the existence of Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco.
Right.
So that story was, in fact, true. But there's no way the CIA is going to be defunded because the CIA controls the government. The CIA controls the military. We're controlled by that group of people that was designed with the National Security Act of 1947 to be absolutely nothing but a clearinghouse for intelligence, which was gathered. The CIA, as it was constructed, was not to be an on-the-ground working force. But, of course, we know that with Operation Paperclip that the original CIA was funded with a lot of Nazis. And I mean, they were staffed with a lot of Nazis, not funded, but staffed with Operation Paperclip. So we ended up with those people who basically took over control of our government, and they have done it. And they have basically and emphatically controlled the United States military, especially the special operations units, since Vietnam.
Yeah, it's the same group of people that have been moved around to, you know, commit the same atrocities that have been going on for a while. I guess World War II, like I say about World War II, I don't, again, get into details, but you have to look at what the outcome was. You had two main things happen, which was fake Israel was established and the UN was established out of World War II. So I guess that was the goal of that so-called war. So anyway, Dave's joined us. Hi, Dave.
LB and Mike. Sorry I was late. Yeah. Something came up at the very last minute, but I got it taken care of. You know, I agree. I was just catching the last couple of minutes of your conversation. And the one thing I would add to World War II is that the CIA and the intelligence agencies sort of came to birth during and because of World War II. So that would be the one thing I would add to that. And Mike was just talking about Vietnam, and I wanted to ask him, you know, I've talked to a lot of people about this, and many people that were involved seemed to feel that they would not allow the United States to win the war. They did everything they could to keep the United States just entrenched in this war. What are your thoughts about that, Mike?
Well, there is some evidence to be found in the Library of Congress that there were actually attempts made on Richard Nixon's life, assassination attempts and discussions, because he wanted to wind down the war in Vietnam, and they wanted the war in Vietnam to be perpetual, just like our war in the Middle East, because it constantly fills the coffers of the defense industry and the international bankers. And they make much more money during war than they do any other time. So that was what they basically wanted to do, was to keep that war going. And so they decided that there might be a little, you might wake up Joe Sixpack out there if you had two assassinations that close together, Kennedy and then Nixon. So what they did is they just destroyed Nixon's career. The break-in at the Watergate was designed to be, they were designed to be caught. So it would reflect back to Nixon. Those guys were longtime operatives. E. Howard Hunt was a longtime operative. These people had been, they did, would not make the stupid mistakes that got those people caught in the Watergate Center.
That's a really good point, Mike. And of course, you know, E. Howard Hunt allegedly or supposedly made a deathbed confession that he was sort of the bench warmer in the, somebody that helped plan the Kennedy assassination. To his son, he, apparently his son claims that he made a detailed confession about being directly involved with the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah, Saint John Hunt or Saint James Hunt. I'm not sure which it is, but that was his name, and he actually appeared on an episode with what was the wrestler who became governor? I'm having a brain cramp for a minute.
Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, he actually appeared with Jesse Ventura and made that and actually told that on a broadcast, that sitting beside his father at his father's death, his father actually told him that he was involved. And he even at one point said that his father, E. Howard Hunt, said he pulled the trigger.
Hmm. Wow.
Anyway, Secret Service wasn't established until the Civil War. We were talking about that before you came on, Dave. The Republic was overwritten during the Civil War, and that's when all these real shenanigans started. You said that these other agencies started out of World War II, which is just progressive actions of this evil that exists today. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. We'll be back after these station announcements. Stay tuned, and we have another hour and a half to go. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
troops. Let the magic rise.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
We're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. My name's LB Bork. Today we have with us Mike Gaddy and the guy that goes by Dave Scorpio. He's got a program here, and so does Mike, on this station, and we'd like to thank everyone for joining us once again. And this is listener-supported radio, so we could use your help. Go to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio and find the donation button, if you would, and hit that and follow instructions and give us a couple bucks. I mean, really, it doesn't take that much to help us out and avoid the commercials and the advertisers that would control what we say. And maybe if you've been listening to the station for a while, you find out that we say things that you're not going to hear on YouTube because it will be censored, or even Facebook or Twitter for that matter, because that's censored also based on New World Order principles. Anyway, we're talking about 9/11 happenings today. Laid some things out. Dave joined us at the towards the bottom of last hour. He wanted to talk about some things. I don't know what he had in mind exactly. Dave, did you want to interject anything that maybe hopefully Mike didn't cover, but Mike covers things that I've never heard before. So maybe you haven't heard him either, so you have something different. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, you know, this is a preface going into this 9/11 discussion. World War II really did set the stage for the reality that we live in now more than any other event in the 20th century, I believe. So many things are predicated around that, and it set the stage entirely for where we are. And it, you know, it put America on a war footing ever since, essentially, nonstop wars almost. And so, you know, 9/11 to me is the next most significant event after World War II, because 9/11 amped up this security state that we live in, and totally created an era of paranoia and just thinking the boogeyman's out to get you. And I was wondering what if you guys had covered, like, what's your theory on what exactly brought the towers down?
Mike, you want to cover that?
Well, Dave, I look to experts. I certainly do not have that type of understanding, but I've looked at the engineers, and they have a website. I forgot what it is, but it has to do with the engineers in 9/11. There are hundreds of engineers who you can go to their website, and they say absolutely there is no way this could have happened. This had to be a pre-planned demolition. And there was a story that surfaced not too long ago about, I believe that there was a one floor of the World Trade Center, one of the buildings that was completely controlled by Mossad, that they had it for several months before it happened. But if you follow the money, which I believe is the answer to almost everything, if you follow the money and look how this was done, the city of New York knew that they were going to be in a lot of trouble for the asbestos that had been used in lining so much of the building. And they knew that the liability for that was going to be just tremendous. And so they willingly sold it to, help me with the last name, Dave, Larry, what was his name?
Oh, Lucky Larry.
Yeah.
Silverstein, or no.
Lucky Larry Silverstein, yeah.
Silverstein, yeah.
So Silverstein gets together a group of people and investors, and they purchase the rights to the buildings and the area, including all three buildings, including World Trade Center building number 7. They get all three buildings, and they control it, and they put an investment in to control it from the city of New York. Well, then they immediately take out insurance, of course, on the buildings. And then we end up with 9/11 occurring, and they are rewarded twice. They say that because there were two planes that hit the buildings, they collected on their insurance twice. And then after that was over, the city of New York gave them their original investment back. So go,
unbelievable. And you know, James Comey's daughter is an attorney for the Southern District of New York, the one that's been handling their requests for information. And, you know, they're actually trying to get a lawsuit going about 9/11 now, the architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. And, of course, Comey's daughter actually works as an attorney for the SDNY.
Hmm. Isn't it interesting that they can cover this up, or these 500 or so engineers that Mike referenced are not heard from at all? And it's because people aren't organized. Twitter and Facebook is like, I've described it, a scatter bomb to... Well, just LB, break everyone up.
You're right. In so many instances, you are correct. But I don't care if the people all got together and presented all of their evidence. The courts aren't going to hear it.
The court of public opinion is more important.
Well, that may be true, but the court of public opinion has exactly the power that a peanut has.
Yeah, because they're not organized.
They're not changing anything, LB. The control, you know, I can get as mad as hell as I want to at the government, but I could get a whole bunch of people to agree with me. But, you know, I could get 500 engineers to agree with me, and the government's not going to hear the case. You know, that was one of the things, and I'm jumping ship here, but it was one of the things that really bothered me about Kamala Harris, was the fact that not too long ago, some great forensic folks petitioned for a new trial for Sirhan Sirhan, saying that Robert F. Kennedy was not killed by Sirhan Sirhan. He was killed by someone very close to him, and they have overwhelming evidence. But guess who denied a new trial as Attorney General for the state of California? Kamala Harris. And now she is doing what? She's probably going to be the next president if Biden wins, because Biden won't last 15 minutes. And then we have also, we have the fact that on the other side of the party aisle, we have Kavanaugh, who is now a Supreme Court justice, sitting there with all kinds of money for the rest of his life and not having to work very hard at anything. And what did he do in 1997 era? But he helped cover up the Vince Foster murder for the Clintons. So this, it's, they get rewarded on down the road. They support the government in everything they do. They're in positions of power. You're not going to get these people. It will take a complete revolution and the disassembly of this government to ever achieve liberty again.
No, that's what I was going to say. You need public educated, one, then two, you get the pitchforks and torches out, you know, and just go after them if they're not going to play by their own rules.
Well, that's the problem, is they make the rules and then they are set in a position. You know, how many times has the U.S. government investigated itself, LB, and how many people went to prison?
Yeah.
Well, that's people, the thing, though. But the people, they don't do anything. You know, there's no resistance. They don't say anything, and because they've been kept in the dark like mushrooms, is part of it, but scared is the other thing.
Throughout history, LB, we can take it back to scripture. We can go all the way back to we can go all the way back to Isaiah. We can go back to then, and when God told Isaiah, I want you to go out there and I want you to preach to the people and tell them what's happening, that we have a corrupt king and all this other stuff. And then Isaiah says, well, I'll be glad to do it. And then God says, I'm paraphrasing, of course, I'm not quoting scripture.
Right.
But God says to Isaiah, I need to tell you, Isaiah, they're not going to listen. The masses will not listen, LB. They're never going to listen. They are content with just like they are, to be led around by their nose as long as they're comfortable, as long as they can watch Dancing with the Stars and have a six pack when they get home in the evening from their slavery trade. They don't care. You are never going to awaken the mass of people. It hasn't happened in history.
Well, I guess that's why I had to finally come up with the motto for the Discerning Soul for People's Awareness Coalition.
Well, people don't want to know. See, that is the thing. We need an educated people, but to go back to scripture again, and this is quoted scripture, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, and they have rejected knowledge. So we can't get
that's true. We can't get people that's to true. Believe it. But Mike, don't you think that more and more people than ever are starting to have some kind of awakening, or is that an illusion?
Well, comfortable people, Dave, comfortable people never revolt. It's that you could find that in history. When people are comfortable, they just sit there and take it. You know, Mao said, he called it the three bowl of rice a day theory. As long as I give my people three bowls of rice a day, they'll let me do anything I want to. Stalin called it, he said, get them to their comfort level and you can do anything. And Americans have certainly been at their comfort level. And again, comfortable people do not revolt. But as the people are beginning to actually maybe wake up to some extent, Dave, it's because of the circumstances that this government has created with this fake pandemic.
Well, I myself am getting tired of watching television.
Stop.
No, I'm just saying. I was telling my friend Nathan this morning, I wish the phone rang like it used to, and people were interested in what I had to say, but it's gotten worse.
Well, you know, I do not watch television. Occasionally I watch it, but I was really glad that we turned it on. My wife and I think it was Wednesday night, we turned it on, and they were doing a Law and Order marathon.
Mm.
And so it was just, you know, for noise for me. But I am so glad that we had it on, because they had an episode in 2003 of a epidemic in New York City that was caused by COVID SARS.
Huh.
And
there's your notices.
Yeah, 17 years in advance, we have it on Law and Order. They called it COVID and they called it SARS. They didn't use 19 to be totally accurate. They never mentioned 19, but we had COVID SARS, and they mentioned that. And then the police go in to talk to a person who has the virus in the hospital, and the doctors are standing there, and the police say, "Hey, do we need a mask?" And the doctor says, "No, you don't need a mask."
Is that falsy? Maybe. Just kidding.
I still believe that Fauci is the reincarnation of Heinrich Himmler.
Yeah, he's bad news. He's a secret society tied in and all that. But yeah, I have to retract a little bit. I've been watching a lot of YouTube political type stuff lately. I can't stand movies much anymore at all, you know, because I don't watch television in general. I haven't for years, but when I do watch anything, I try to look for the clues, like you just mentioned, Mike. Someone that's aware can see all the things that they're, you know, telling you is going to happen or whatever.
It's conditioning. It's conditioning.
Yeah.
Mind. Yeah.
Yeah, the pandemic thing has been, or the virus issue has been programming people since the 70s. They've had several movies out for that, in the past 30, 40 years to get people scared of viruses. You know.
And if I could, I'd like to jump back because I found it. I found a quote that appeared in the Washington Post early edition on 22nd of December, 1963, ironically, a month after the JFK assassination. And this op-ed was by former President Harry Truman. And here was Truman's remarks. I take an excerpt from his entire column. This, I think, is the pertinent quote. He says, "For some time, I have been disturbed by the way the CIA has been diverted from its original assignment. It has become an operational and at times a policymaking arm of the U.S. government. I never had any thought that when I set up the CIA that it would be injected into peacetime cloak and dagger operations." And it was Harry Truman who signed into law the National Security Act of 1947, which created, you know, our Secretary of Defense and all this other stuff, and the CIA and NSA and DIA and all these other IAs.
Right, and without World War II, they never would have been able to justify creating all those intelligence agencies.
Exactly. And then, you know, we talk about this as a conspiracy theory, you know, but let's look at a CIA document. And the CIA document is 1035-960. And here is what the CIA said in their own documentation. "Conspiracy theory is a term that strikes fear and anxiety in the hearts of most every public figure, particularly journalists and academics. Since the 1960s, the label has become a disciplinary device that has been overwhelmingly effective in defining certain events as off-limits to inquiry or public debate, especially in the United States, raising legitimate questions about dubious official narratives destined to inform public opinion and thereby public policy is a major thought crime that must be cauterized from the public psyche at all costs." The CIA admit in their own document they use the term conspiracy theory throughout the media to keep people from pursuing the truth about what the government is doing. They tell us what they're doing. And, you know, if you don't believe these things, let's think about some quotes from the CIA themselves. This one from William Bader, who was the former CIA intelligence officer, when he briefed members of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And that quote, and here's the quote, "There is quite an incredible spread of relationships. You don't need to manipulate Time magazine, for example, because there are Central Intelligence Agency people at the management level." And then, of course, the great one from CIA Director William Casey. 1981, "We'll know our disinformation program is complete when everything the American public believes is false." People, they tell you what they're going to do.
Yeah, and, you know, Mike, there's an interesting parallel that I see, too, between the Kennedy assassination and 9/11, talking about the media and the CIA infiltration of it. During both events, or after both events, I should say, the media went into high gear to make sure that only the official story was pushed. So with the Kennedy assassination, the lone nut Oswald, and, you know, with 9/11, you know, some crazy Arab terrorists hijacked two airplanes and crashed them into the Twin Towers, and then three buildings fell down. So, you know, it's interesting how this mechanism went into high gear after both of these events, making sure that no other information was allowed out to the public.
Well, the same thing's happening now, Dave, with this pandemic. I mean, if you get someone who is who is going to oppose the government narrative, they come under immediate attack by all of the members of the media.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, that's a very good point. In fact, it's just gotten more refined, this process, and there's more and more agents or, you know, people inside these organizations, and it's like a well-oiled machine now. Absolutely.
Well, they're not going to allow, and then look at the headlines of various stories, which I do see from time to time. The headlines will say from many of these stories, the headlines are all emotionally driven.
Oh, absolutely, Mike. You know, and I was watching or monitoring the mainstream media news the other night briefly, and they had a story about how awful the virus is on the border of Mexico. And they interviewed this doctor from the Mexican side, and he said that the other day he was in the morgue, and he noticed that there was a grandfather piled on top of the grandson in the morgue. And it's the kind of thing that's you know, it's got all the right psychological triggers. It's the kind of story that is crafted to push people's buttons, and I don't even believe it anyway.
Right.
Well, here's the figure I want them to release. If they will just release this figure, I will be somewhat happy if it was the truth. How many people who have tested positive for COVID-19 received a flu shot within the previous 12 months?
I don't know.
No one will touch that. Call people up. Call up the state. I've called up the state and asked them for that information. And they tell you, they right quick, you aren't talked to. I've even had the state of Colorado, I called because I used to live there. I called them and asked them for that information. They told me I wasn't entitled to that information.
Wow.
Well, if the American public's so docile and stupid, why don't they just do what they need to do instead of doing this over couple hundred years?
Because they don't want to wake them up. You wake them up if you give them a full dose. If you hit them right between the eyes with a ball peen hammer, they wake up.
Yeah.
But if you, it's boiling the frog, the old, you know, you just keep boiling away until it's any chance of resistance is gone. Resistance is futile.
Well, I guess that's been my goal, is to hit them between the eyes with a ball peen hammer.
You know, that's the only way you're going to wake up some of these people.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you see people, it's become, to me, it's almost funny. I want to go up to the intersection not too far from here where there are a lot of people getting out for various at filling stations and other things. You can sit in one place and watch these people, and it's hilarious. I mean, when you see a lady get out of her car at a restaurant, and she is by herself when she drives up, and she's got on a mask, and then she gets out of her car, she locks her car, she's on her way to go into the restaurant to eat, and she's wearing a mask, and she's trying to smoke her cigarette around the corner of the mask. Some of this
amazing.
Some of this is so hilarious that it's unreal. I don't need comedy shows on TV. All I have to do is go up to a parking lot and watch the people.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike, you know, speaking of restaurants, on this same news broadcast, they had a story, will restaurants be able to survive in the corona era? And, you know, basically they talked about, you know, restaurants at 25%, they can't pay their bills, obviously. And then at the end of the story, they said that, and the CDC just released figures that if people that caught the coronavirus recently were two times more likely to have eaten at a restaurant in the last 2 weeks. And it's like, okay, well, there you go. Will restaurants survive? Answer, no. Especially with reports like that.
I think that's one of their goals, is to do away with those luxuries. In the world, it's based on the green program they got going on. It's probably their idea of cutting down emissions from vehicles and things. You know, people need to stay home and do nothing except being brainwashed by the government or the New World Order, whichever you want to look
at. Yes, the coronavirus is a magic virus, and it can morph into anything they want. And it is fulfilling the new green agenda, no doubt. Isn't that interesting how that works out?
Yeah.
Well, also, guys, here's the thing that I find just absolutely preposterous. And if you will believe this, you'll believe anything. And that's this thing they're pushing now about the Sturgis motorcycle rally in South Dakota. They are claiming that that rally is now responsible for 266,000 new COVID cases. And the health cost because of Sturgis will be $12.2 billion.
Yeah, whatever. I don't believe any of this. Yeah, not to feel silly, but I got a friend here that drives around with a mask in his car, and he leans towards the liberal Democrats, and he claims to be a thinker, and it's just beyond me. It's like they don't think. It's like they're told what to think, and they follow it. It's really scary. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, and the mainstream media is just used to drop little breadcrumbs for people on what they're supposed to believe in the future. Like with the Sturgis rally, the reports when they were reporting the rally itself, well, there's fears that this will spread the coronavirus. Experts say blah, blah, blah. And sure experts, enough, here we are.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, we're kind of segueing into what I wanted to talk about next hour, but is there anything on 9/11? We got about a minute left, if that. So, anyone wants to top off the hour here?
9/11 was just another super fraud perpetrated on a group of dumbass people who are too stupid to think for themselves.
No, come on, don't speak your mind here on Dare to Think Out Loud, Mike.
Oh, well, I was thinking out loud. I'm sorry.
Okay. We'll be back in a few minutes, folks. Stay tuned.
Against their tyranny. Number 3 is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one, as we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in. And I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, for the Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
Anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs!
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio! Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. This is Revolution Radio. My name's LB Bork. Have with me today Mike Gaddy and Dave Scorpio. John Breeson was supposed to be with us. I don't know where he went. I think he's listening, but he had something to take care of. He should be with us, hopefully momentarily. Anyway, we were talking about 9/11 last hour and a little bit of the history leading up to why, you know, 9/11 happened and why people exist in America. I've been calling this a commercial plantation for a long time. It formulated out of the early years of the United States before it became the United States. The British colonies were under the East India Trading Company, and those people basically are still in control. I believe through my research that the New World Order and the United States formulated into what it is today, a commercial plantation based on an extensive program based on world communism, was the way to handle the Industrial Revolution and the profits that came from it. And everything that leads up to what's going on today is pursuant to that. People don't understand that they're just economic commodities called human resources, and they're nothing but anything the elite can take from the earth and make profits from, and that's where the term human resource comes from. It's a economic commodity, and everything we talk about is pursuant to that for the most part. And the United States was the venture operation for the New World Order, as they call it, which is the Old World Order. They've just refined things and done a legal overlay of the lawful nations and created this communistic system. And it's been in the making for, you know, about 500 years, but the last 150 years is when they really started perfecting things. And the so-called Civil War is where they started here in the United States out of the forming of this so-called republic that only existed for about 80 years. And going back into history, before we get started on talking about other things or continuing on what we talked about last hour, I was doing some back research again, and I noticed that the Roman Empire lasted over 400 years as a republic before it went into its empire stage. And it only took them 80 years to take it into empire stage in the United States. So gives you an idea how fast these guys are operating these days. So, yeah, we were talking about 9/11 last hour, and it kind of segued into COVID. And my research tells me that David Martin, a guy named David Martin, is on top of doing court actions and finding out the truth about COVID. He's traced a lot of information down. So if you want to follow his work, you can find him on the internet. He's got a website. But I find him to be on top of things in that regard. Anyway, Mike, do you want to top anything off from last hour, or did you pretty much put a period on it from what you said? And I follow that too. Go ahead.
I think I yacked enough on that. Let's see what Dave has to say on that subject. I know he has quite a few thoughts.
Well, I guess I'd like just to start off by asking both of you a question. We were talking about the coronavirus. You know, apparently in 1968, there was this, you know, pandemic of Hong Kong flu. And, you know, I was only 2 years old at the time. Both of you are a little older. Do you guys remember this huge pandemic? They say 1 million people died from it, yet they didn't shut society down. You know, Woodstock happened the next year. And what are your recollections of this, either one of you?
I don't remember it, so go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was otherwise occupied at that time, Dave. They had me in a strange place, and people were shooting at me, so I didn't pay much attention to that.
I'm kind of the same way. You know, I was just living my life, as I've said before, that I think I was awakened early on, and I just tried to ignore the government when I got out of high school. So,
well, I guess the point I'm driving at here is they claim there was this huge pandemic in 1968. 1 million people died. Hundreds of thousands were sick. And, you know, I'm just thinking they must not have had the infrastructure in place to pull off what they've done now in terms of, you know, having the organization so powerful that they can mandate all of these ridiculous rules. It seems like life just went on without skipping a beat back then.
Well, you know, I was young then, but I don't remember that at all. I remember the Kennedy assassination. I was 4 years old. I remember the TV and watching it and my mom getting upset. And, you know, that happened before this thing that you said happened. And I didn't hear anything about that. So who knows if it's even true. Maybe they tried to keep things quiet then, you know.
I was reading about it earlier. They tried to warn people and make a big deal about it, but I don't think they had the infrastructure in place like they do now to be able to force a bogus reality upon people with like they have with this COVID thing. I see that John's on. John, what do you think about this?
I have no answer. I wasn't alive. I talked to my uncle about the swine flu epidemic and the vaccines that were rushed during the 1970s and how it almost bankrupted the pharmaceutical industry at that time. And he remembered that, and that's why he's not going to get the COVID-19 vaccine, because they're rushing it the same way they did with the swine flu vaccination in the 1970s and the swine flu pandemic that was going on. But I do remember H1N1. I remember H1N1 during the Obama administration, and more people died from H1N1, I believe, than COVID. I have to go back and look at the data, but I believe so. And nothing was shut down.
No, I think you're right. I think you're right, John. And you know it just shows that this is a deliberate plan to shut society down so they can completely re-engineer it.
Yes, no doubt.
I agree. Now, to play devil's advocate, the only thing that I could say to be the contrary to that is if this truly was a bioweapon. Now, I believe you could, it's like you can argue about 9/11, you know, let it happen on purpose or make it happen on purpose, you know? So if this was a bioweapon and it was let it happen on purpose, then it got released and this is their reaction to it, or make it happen on purpose, they released it on purpose for this to happen, for the pandemic to occur. Who knows? You know, I believe it's likely that it was make it happen on purpose with everything that's been in place, the infrastructure that's in place, obviously. But let's just take the devil's advocate side and say it's let it happen on purpose. You know, maybe they were reacting to something that they had really no idea how it'd be work on a population. I don't know. I think it's probably the latter. I think it's make it happen on purpose, just like 9/11 was. But it would make sense a little bit for them to shut everything down if they didn't quite understand how the virus is working. Because, you know, if something – so I guess the question is, if there was mass destabilization and civilian unrest, would it be detrimental to them if it came to a point of something that was beyond their control? Now, we like to think that they're able to control everything and measure every outcome. And I don't know if that's necessarily true, you know. So I'm just playing the other side there. I don't agree with that side, but I can see that as being possible as well. I don't know if you guys thought of that either. So
I've only looked at the issue lightly, and like I said, David Martin, I think, is the one to look to see what's going on. He did find that they tried to patent this COVID virus or the COVID-19 in the United States, and they couldn't because of the laws that were in place. So they went to China to do it, and that's why it came out of China. And that's about all I can say for that.
But that's his research. Some people say it didn't come out of China, that it came out of Fort Detrick, Maryland, because Remember the vaping incidents that were happening last year? Well, the lung, if you look at the lung scans of someone who were having, you know, having vape lung, and someone was having COVID-19 lungs, you see the bilateral opacity of the lungs, they're exact identical to one another. So who knows? Who knows how long it's been here? Who knows how severe it is? Who knows anything? We're all in the fog of war in this. Yeah. You know, but I will say that we can all agree that the governments around the world are using this in a lockstep plan to usher in their version of the world order. That's for sure.
Right. That's
oh, yeah. Sure. John, I would have to add to that that I believe this to be a deliberate plan of confusion so that nobody really knows how deadly it is or, you know, how many people are really sick. It's all a deliberate plan to keep everyone confused and put out conflicting information also. Did it come from Fort Detrick? Did it come from China? I think this is all part of the discussion.
There's no doubt that the U.S. military.
Meanwhile, we have the greatest transfer of wealth that we've ever experienced in the 20th, you know, in modern history, let's say, happening right now while we're all worried about the virus.
I was just going to say that there's no doubt that the U.S. military does experiments with the viruses and such. Mike, I think, can attest to that.
Well, one of the things I would like to posit here, gentlemen, John, let me run this conspiracy theory by you. The COVID was developed at Fort Detrick, Maryland, and then the it was actually moved to Wuhan, China, for two purposes. Number one is Wuhan, China has the most denigrated atmosphere of probably any large city on the planet. And so most of the people there had very weak respiratory systems because of the heavy doses of pollution in the area. Plus, they had a high concentration of 5G. So then it was a perfect test tube to see how this was going to work at the time. I'm just positing that as a conspiracy theory here on Conspiracy Theory Day. And the other thing I would mention is that we also know that when they had this crazy swine flu deal in the 60s, remember that in the 60s, the news was on, local news was on for 15 minutes, and national news was on for 15 minutes. And for the rest of the day, people were actually free of a bombastic news media punching them 24 hours a day from a multitude of sources, which may factor in there somehow. Just my thought.
That's a great point. And, of course, we all know that the people that work in media, they have essential jobs, so we couldn't shut them down.
No, not at all. 100% right, Scorpio. And to circle back, Mike, to your point, but I do believe that some of it was leaked out of Fort Detrick. John Hankey made a good video kind of showing proof that when they transferred it to Wuhan, to that they claim was a stage 4 laboratory, but was likely a stage 3 laboratory, was not going to be able to contain it at all. it's a possibility that it could take, because they were having issues with breaches at Fort Detrick for the past few years. They actually had to shut it down, laboratory, for a short period of time because of that. So the theory is it got into a pond and contaminated the water that was nearby Fort Detrick, and that's how it started spreading within the United States last year, actually. And then the Chinese spread, I think, was actually on purpose. That was probably done somewhere around the laboratory. I don't think it was the wet market. I've heard possibly the Wuhan Summer Games that were going on at that time. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing, is we'll never know, right? It's like 9/11, like, you know, directed energy weapons, thermite, you know, let it happen on purpose, make it happen on purpose. Every country and person's involved, we'll never know. We still don't even know about the JFK assassination, you know? So the thing is as much as I love doing deep dives and trying to figure this stuff out, I guess what really matters and what we should really be focusing on is the outcome. That's really is what is going to affect all of us throughout the whole entire world, is what they do from this. And it looks like we're going to get a cashless society. It looks like we're going to get more draconian and totalitarian laws. This time it's going to deal with health instead of 9/11, where it dealt with restriction of, well, you have restriction of travel, this, but more privacy and security. But this time it's going to be involve your health. I think your HIPAA laws will be reversed somehow. You're going to have less access to your medical privacy because they're going to try to figure out if you got tested for COVID or if you tested positive or whatever. It's just going to be a further clamp down and taking away of our God-given rights by any means necessary. There's going to be – I assume there's probably going to be some sort of bill that's passed from this eventually if the quote-unquote second wave happens that'll rival the Patriot Act in the amount of rights that were taken away from the American citizens. We'll see. Time will tell. Who knows? But, you know, I could be completely off base about that. But I guess we'll see.
Well,
you know,
Mike, those are some – I mean, John, those are some great points. The only thing that I would add to that is that, you know, there's the concept of virus attenuation. And if you it's a medical fact. It's a well-known fact that, you know, the viruses mutate. And when they mutate, they become less virulent. And that's been studied for a long time, and that's part of the problem they're having now, is they may have released a bioweapon, yes, but over time it mutates and becomes less deadly, and that's one thing they don't want people to know.
Yes, but it's my belief, too, not to cut you off, Scorpio, that they released multiple strains, at least 8 to 10 at this point, probably more for the second wave that comes up. Because you're right, they do eventually – most viruses – mutate into less virulent. So they want to survive. I guess they're not living, but they want to be able to spread their DNA or RNA when necessary. The body will just leave them alone, you know? So,
well, and if that wasn't true, then the human race would have been wiped out by viruses a long time ago.
Exactly.
So, you
know. Exactly. And there's so many harmless viruses. I mean, your virome is trillions of viruses that live inside of you. So, yeah, they were causing that much problems, we would have all been, there'd be no living, there'd be nothing living on the earth at all, you know? So, well, I guess we'll see, you know, that's the thing the only thing I guess we can really guarantee is more draconian laws are going to come out of this. And it concerns me that they may be the worst that we've seen yet. I don't know how you guys
absolutely
feel about that.
Isn't it interesting? Yeah, I agree totally. Isn't it interesting that all of these draconian laws, they're all things that have been on the wish list of this cabal for a very long time, including, you know, a cashless society. And you know, they've been edging us towards a digital currency for a long time. We're almost there already. Most cash transactions are done digitally, not with cash. And all they haven't done yet is make it illegal to use cash. That's the only switch they haven't flipped yet.
I guess that kind of brings us to this hour's segment on the rise of the Red Party. I don't know. We had a discussion last week, and John and I kind of decided on one side, and you, Scorpio, and Mike decided on the other side. Both John and I think the Republicans are going to come out on top of this. And as I discussed on, I think it was my show this last week, I talked about the history of the Republican Party, and I referred to it as the original Communist Party. And the Democrats were the original landholders, and they were swapped somehow as being the socialist or the communist in the last 100 years or so, especially the last 10 or 20. It's been just ridiculous how socialist they've gotten, or left, as a lot of people call them. But I think they're being thrown under the bus right now, and I think John might agree with me. If you look at even some of the MSNBC post on YouTube, there's more thumbs down than there is for some of the broadcasts based on Biden clips and things of that nature than I've ever seen. And if you look at the Trump rally, for example, yesterday in Michigan, it was just outrageous. And you look at something Biden put together, there's no one there. Matter of fact, I saw one get together for Biden. There was more Trump supporters there. So I don't know. What do you think, John, on this? Again, we discussed it last week, but
no, I agree, Mr. Bork. I still think that John Kenneth Blackwell, long-term Council for National Policy member for 2 to 3 decades, rigged the vote for George W. Bush in 2004 in Ohio. Of course, you know, it was Kerry versus Bush, two bonesmen, whoever wins, we lose, right? Mm-hmm. So he says that Trump's got the best ground game he's seen in four decades. It is my belief that Donald John Trump will be a president for the second term. He will win the 2020 reelection campaign because it will further be used to divide us as a country. We will become more divided more than ever. It's hilarious. You think Obama was the one that the truth movement you said would going to divide us. And he did to some degree, don't get me wrong, but not divided as how the country is now under Trump is ridiculous. It'll continue to get worse. That will usher in a true socialist, a bit communist president in 2024. My belief is probably going to be that it's going to be Michelle Mabel Obama, a true progressive. Because Trump said that, according to him, because he is the bulwark, he is the rampart, that we won't see a communist or socialist president in our lifetime. The moment he said that, I laughed and said, well, it's going to happen. And it's probably going to happen after him. So my guess is that's probably what they're setting up. So.
Well, like I say, every plank of the Communist Manifesto has been applied for 50 years in the United States. So these guys are lying, for one thing. And the way I look at it, they're just taking things real far left in a Hegelian dialectic manner and then bringing them back center where they want them. Yeah, they might progressively do what they want out of this. But right now, I see the Democrats being thrown under the bus totally. I don't see where they're going to gain any ground as far as the election goes. Unless, you know, I see them setting up the fraud with this electronic, or not electronic voting, but mail-in voting for sure. And electronically they can do anything. But, it's going to be a bad situation either way. What do you think, Scorpio, in regard to if the Democrats lose?
Well, LB, you know, I think, first of all, no matter who wins, there's going to be a whole lot of pissed off people.
Right. Exactly.
Okay? Yeah, that's for sure. That's already been – the stage has been set by that for that by the mainstream media. They've done all they can to set the stage for that. But for me, if you look at it from the point of view of the conspirators, the smart move is to get the Democrats in power – and get a clean sweep, take all three houses, which I think is going to happen. And then you've got no resistance towards taking America into a completely new system. I hope I'm wrong, but that's what I see coming. And especially if they get this mail-in voting thing going everywhere, you can forget about Republicans winning anything ever. And after this, one last point.
I just want to interject, by the way. my friend that wears a mask in his car, he believes what you just said. So I don't know where you guys are getting this. But anyway.
Well, that's what's being...
it's got to be a narrative from somewhere. I haven't seen it.
Media. And I just look at the mainstream media as a way to follow the breadcrumbs and as to where they want society to go. And, you know, one thing's for sure, after Trump, the Republicans, that you'll never see another Republican president in our lifetimes, guaranteed.
No, I believe they're going for one party, and it's going to be the Republican, I believe. I don't know what they're going to call it, but some people disagree on that, too. But we'll see what happens. Mike, do you have anything to add to this?
Well, from my perspective, and, you know, it's my opinion, I sell it for what it's worth. But what I see is if the powers that be believe that their domination of the American public is complete, it will be a Democrat landslide. If the powers that be fear any reprisals from what we would call the conservative right in America, if they do not feel like they have completely neutered the conservative right, Trump will win to keep the conservatives sitting on their ass while they complete the rest of their project. Just my thoughts.
And I believe that's what's going to happen, Mike. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I 100% believe that's what's happening. Because they're going to have to neuter us for 4 more years. I don't think they completely have everything in place yet. So they got to make people trust the plan and rest their laurels and Trump's our guy. And while they get everything in set for 2024, which will be the end game.
Well, John, I have to agree with you because, look, even Natural News came out with this pie-in-the-sky thing about the 14th Amendment and that Trump is going to be elected and he's going to declare an insurrection and all of the Democrat leaders in the cities are going to be arrested and tried for treason.
Wow. Hey, we got a break, guys. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. We'll be back after these station announcements. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge
knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got here.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Well, we're back, folks. This is Dare to Think Out Loud. Today is September 11th. The uneventful day, or should I say real eventful day that happened 19 years ago. It kind of changed America quite a bit, but America's seen changes in the past. I think the war between the states, as they call it, or the so-called Civil War, was a major turnover, and there's a lot of activity in the chat room about, you know, who said America's communist 50 years ago, our state will never go communist, and whatever, whatever, but like I said, I've got evidence out of the code where the government admits that we lost the Republic during the Civil War, per their words. It's like this other guy I was listening to recently. I think his name's Bill Tuttle or Tittle or something like that. And he was arguing that the United States isn't fascist. And I'm thinking they admit it themselves. The Lincoln Memorial has a fasci on Lincoln's chair. The House has it behind the Speaker's chair. To say that America's not fascist is ridiculous. It is. And as Mike has laid out, you know, the Whiskey Rebellion was an act of fascism. So the United States has been fascist since day one. So to say it isn't is ridiculous. As I've laid out in my work, you know, it's gotten stronger, of course, throughout the years. The standing army took, you know, effect during the Civil War. It never ended. It's being used to install world communism all over the world. Everyone in America is worried about, you know, the United States being involved in other countries. Well, they're enforcing world communism is what they're doing. This is the enforcement arm. The United States is the most successful application of communism in the world, mainly because no one knows it is. All the planks are applied. What you're seeing now is just additional Marxism to cause chaos, to hide it one for one thing and keep it maintained and, you know, extend it into the future. So that's my story. That's my book I've written. I've written tons of information on that, and I'm sticking to it. So people can talk all they want about this and that. The facts are there. And, you know, our communists wear suits instead of military outfits. So people can think what they want. The main thing that people need to really concentrate on is one of the things I pulled out of the Communist Manifesto that's most important, and the brainwashing is that people think this is a country and nation, which it's you know, not in absolute strict sense. They should be taking back their nationalities. And that's what I've been, you know, helping people do for 20 years. And it gets you out of, you know, a big legal mess. And that's what scares me the most, is because people are clueless about this. They don't care about it. They carry on with their socialism in a happy way and don't want to do what it takes to really change things and fight this. You know, they just want to talk about it, go in the streets and complain and, you know, cause riots and do stupid things, which does absolutely nothing. So people should be concentrating on taking their countries back instead of doing what they're doing, which is pretty much next to nothing for the most part. And anyway, with that, thanks for joining us, John. I know you missed the first hour. You had internet problems, and I really appreciate your input and support. So
yeah, I'm definitely glad for joining. I wanted to circle back something that Mike had said before the break.
Okay, go ahead.
If you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Mike, it's very interesting that Mike Adams would say that, him being both Alex Jones' lackey and a Scientologist. Mike Adams is a Scientologist.
Yes.
So it's very interesting that he would make those claims when he also supposedly convinced Alex Jones that the FEMA camps and the Rex 84 readiness exercise was not for us, for a planned Latin American civil war that never came to fruition, and instead was for Latin American immigrants that were going to flood our borders because the communists were going to destabilize Latin America. And so he convinced Jones on that Oliver North is a good guy, that Ronald Wilson Reagan's a good guy, that George H.W. Bush was a good guy, and that they were trying to do their best for our country during the 1980s. So it does not surprise me at all for him to spew that utter bullshit to the masses, because he is a liar. He's a straight out liar. And I disdain Mike Adams. So yes. Just want to make that.
Well, I can't argue with you, John, on that point. What I see here is the follow up of him. Now we're getting into pylon mode, where he quotes some very highly reliable inside sources that Trump is going to use the 14th Amendment. And he's going to do this, that, and the other. You know, and it almost reminds me of, and John, you can help me with this. I don't keep up with it that closely. But how many years ago was it when QAnon came out and talked about all the sealed indictments that all of these people that were going to be arrested during the Trump administration?
2016. The first post was a person by FBI and on 4chan that it was going to be any moment that Hillary Clinton was going to be arrested right before the election. So, and that was a failed prediction. It did not happen. So I don't know why people still believe QAnon to this day. It's a operation run by the Central Intelligence Agency, the Council for National Policy. And there's grifters and you know, true believers. Is a mixture of all of them, but Flynn, Bannon, they're all involved in it. McChrystal, they're all involved in QAnon. So yeah, they've been calling that for a long time, Mike. And it hasn't happened. It won't happen. Trump told, you know, said to leave Soros alone almost a decade ago, and he mirrored that with, leave the Clintons alone after he was elected. Nothing's going to happen. There's going to be no arrests of any magnitude. No one's truly going to jail that deserves to go to jail. It's not going to happen. So they keep dangling that carrot, like a carrot in front of a horse, for these people, I hopium. And that's why I think Trump's going to get elected, because they got to continue it for another 4 years. And you're brilliant by bringing up that Mike Adams piece, because that proves that that's what they're trying to do.
Well, thanks, John. I'm not sure about my brilliance, but thank you for the comment. But I, you know, if having been in the oxymoronic world of government intelligence, I see too many footprints here, too many things that they are using. And as soon as this Mike Adams piece came out and he's referencing the 14th Amendment and everything, it was just a dead giveaway to me. And I agree with you. And I know that possibly Dave doesn't agree with us on this, and that's fine, because I like it when we can debate these ideas like gentlemen. But that part of, again, is I'm trying to read what the powers that be are reading in the American public. Are they seeing, with all of these masks being put on, with everybody being docile? Because I made a comment on Facebook a couple of days ago that anyone who would put on a mask would give up their gun. And I agree with that. I really do feel that very strongly, that if you're stupid enough to put on a mask because the government told you so, you'll give them their gun because they told you to. So, but how do they feel, John, from your point of view? Does the powers that be feel that that they need four more years to get this right wing completely docile and tame?
Yes, I believe they do. Yes,
that makes sense.
I think they do.
It's interesting. You know, my friend Nathan asked me about Mike Adams today, and I don't know who he is, to be honest. I tried to not get too involved in finding out who these characters are because it just upsets me. Alex Jones, for one thing, wouldn't have me on his program for many years, even though I've heard people request time after time to have me on. And, you know, even I can't remember his name. I've seen some videos on him lately, too. He's a I should look up his name because it's important, but he's he went to one of the Jesuit schools, and he was supposed to be on one of our talk shows long ago, and he wouldn't come on. I mean, he canceled at the last minute. He offered to, and then I guess he got word from his handlers that he wouldn't come on. He was told to stay away from People's Awareness Coalition. So I don't know. You know, my work, I stand behind it. I know it's right, and it's their death knell. And it's unfortunate that people aren't supporting what I've written and what I put out, because it would tear this government apart. It would expose it and take it down, and they wouldn't have anything to stand on. And it could still be done, but I think they do run scared about the truth coming out about what this is all about, meaning the 14th Amendment. And, you know, they know the gig's going to be up eventually. I mean, the work's out there. All it takes is for people to understand what the truth is and expose it. Anyway, you know, I've said for years that they haven't gotten away with this for 150 years without their operatives out there. And maintainers, as I call them, they maintain the system through, you know, disinformation, media. The elite, of course, take care of all this, and that's how they get away with it. It's unfortunate. People don't listen. Anyway, Dave, do you have anything to say? You haven't spoke this segment. I know you're busy in the chat.
I would just add that to the Mike Adams conversation, that he totally discredited himself, you know, by pushing this corona hoax as 100% real, and we're all going to die of coronavirus, and this is all real. He's pushing fear about the whole thing since the very beginning. So it shows that he's on board with the New big World operation, Order. No doubt. Right.
John, you keep up on these guys. Do you have a dossier off the top of your head about this guy? I'd like to know about him.
About Mike Adams? Yeah. Yes. He founded Natural News. He's a big supporter of natural health, which I am too. Right. I can't fault him for that. But, you know, he's been tied at the hip with Alex Jones and InfoWars for close more than a decade. And exactly like Scorpio had said, he has pushed the pandemic as being 100% a pandemic and real and fear from the very beginning. And he's still on that. And it's interesting that he's going about the 14th Amendment, which is your work, but he's going to pervert it in a way that makes Trump our guy, and that Trump's going to arrest all the evil people that, you know, you truly hate. Get out your day of hate on these people. Look, I'm not saying they're not evil, okay? I'm just saying they're framing that mindset to be that way. So like I said, Mike Adams, He is a Scientologist. He has rabidly defended Scientology many times when called about it. He's also got awards from one of the Scientology front groups dealing with mental health. Both him and, very sadly, it makes me sad, the investigative journalist Jim Mars also got awards from that same organization too as well, and would also go around and pimp out Battlefield Earth. And when Alex Sakaris from Skeptico asked Mars if he was a Scientologist, he kind of didn't. He danced around and kind of didn't really outright deny it. So, I mean, that's all really I know about Mike Adams. He's in that Council for National Policy Scientology branch nexus. So
yeah, it sounds like he's of the system. He's brainwashed.
Yes,
and he's acting the useful idiot. Off, like, if he's involved with Alex Jones, he's a useful idiot in that respect.
But I think he might be above more. It's a Citizen Commission on Human Rights is the Church of Scientology fund group that he had won multiple awards from and defends. Mm-hmm. Mike Adams does. I used to like Mike many years ago, many years ago, back when I was still on the Alex Jones train at the turn. Around 2010-ish. But now, since I know so much about him, I've done two streams about him on my channel. We read the documents documenting the proof of who he is and what he believes, at least in the modern era. And yeah, definitely a poison pill. And Bo, I couldn't agree more with Scorpio or with Mike on, you know, him being I think he's a willing agent at this point. I think he's actually over Alex to some degree, but him and Steve Pachinik are kind of Alex Jones's puppeteers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is interesting. It's, I mean, I never thought I would see Alex Jones deny FEMA cancer, deny Rex 84, or have the balls and the gravitas to say that Oliver North was a good man. but it happened, and it happened on that episode where Mike Adams supposedly convinced him, and then Mike Adams came on and laid his case that, you know, the Reagan administration and the George H.W. Bush administration were good, and Iran Contra was them trying to save us from communists. Okay.
Yeah, whatever. This whole thing is bad. I don't know. You know, like I said a few minutes ago, America's been communist since the Civil War. It's the most successful installation because people are totally clueless about it. But I use the litmus test as the Communist Manifesto, the planks, the thing I mentioned about Marx saying that we want to do away with countries and nationalities. They've done that effectively in people's minds, totally, but effectively they've done it with the 14th Amendment. The Constitution, as Mike has laid out from some of the things he's said, they wanted this national government from day one. And it's not, it's a federal government with some national government, you know, abilities through the Constitution. But it's still a federal government. And the states can secede if they so choose. But I think that's a very bad idea at this time. And I wrote a piece called A Case Against Secession. Based on the Israelites, actually, what happened to them after they broke up, after they got in trouble from their leadership, which was King Solomon at the time. But it's just bad. And back to my friend Nathan, bringing up Mike Adams this morning, I said, yeah, I've been saying for a long time that the United States, or Trump in this case, can use the 14th Amendment against anyone that goes into rebellion against the system, because they're now U.S. citizens, and the United States can charge them for treason, which they couldn't do that prior to the 14th Amendment. But again, how many states are going to have the governors on any kind of rebellion side if that, you know, they get away with this civil war they're trying to perpetrate on the American public. That, you know, I think we all can agree that's what they're pushing for. Yes. Some kind of armed conflict. and the U.S. citizens, because they haven't corrected their status or they don't know the law properly, are going to get charged for treason under the Constitution this time, as written, people like Brett Kavanaugh says. That's the way he says it. The Constitution, as written,
Kavanaugh is one of them.
Yeah, he's one of them. And Judge Napolitano does it too. He'll take you up to the edge, and then he'll say, "Well, that's for you to figure out." So these guys all know what's going on. They know the bifurcation that happened under Reconstruction, but they don't talk about it. They play both sides of the coin, and it's very fraudulent and it's very evil. And it's too bad Americans won't listen. I've been trying to get them to listen for 20 years. A lot have, but they haven't done much with it, that's for sure. Anyway, we got about 5 minutes left. Do we want to talk about ourselves and maybe talk about this show being called Dare to Talk Out Loud someday, soon? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, no one's going to grab onto that, huh?
I have a question, LB.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Certainly you're not advocating that the government, including Donald Trump, use an amendment to prosecute people to use an amendment that was never ratified.
That's what they're going to do.
But surely I'm not advocating it. That.
I'm not advocating it.
Okay. All right.
I'm just upset that people don't listen. But that's what they'll do. And at this point, because people don't listen, I have to say, don't come running to me to help you with your problems if you get in trouble. I'm been adamant about that, you know? I haven't helped people in 25 years with their tax problems if they don't want to be part of the lawful system. That's up for lawyers to take their money and screw them over, you know? So, you know, like I say, people say, why do you say people love their Marxism? Because they do. They won't do anything to fix it. Very few even acknowledge it. Like, even my brother, for example, he goes, "Hey, brother, I love you, but keep your politics to yourself." And you were describing that earlier, Mike, about people don't do anything. I just hope, there needs to be a good supply of Vaseline for U.S. citizens. That's all I got to say, because they're going to need it in the future, because it's not going to get any better.
Well, I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better, LB. And frankly, I think the federal government is beyond reformation. Doesn't matter who's president. The agenda is going to keep marching forward. It's just a matter of how fast it moves. And the people need to get local and start working with their neighbors and getting ready for a new kind of reality, because they're planning on shutting this system down as we know it. And I don't think there's any stopping them right now.
No, if people don't do anything, you know, even getting your gardens ready and stuff.
Well,
and
what are people supposed to do, though, LB? What can they do now?
It's, I don't know. What are you saying? It's too late?
Well, I just personally don't think that the federal government can be reformed. It's gone too far over to the dark side.
No, it can't, but if people aren't educated, nothing's going to get done. I said a couple weeks, I've said in my work that the federal government is an enterprise of these people we've been talking about the last 2 hours. It goes back 3,000 years. The federal government has to be done away with, and the states have to, under the law of self. What's the word I'm looking for? I can't even think. Sorry, I'm losing it, I guess. Pulling a Biden here. Self-determination, they're going to have to create their own federal government, because this thing was meant to be broken, and it's going to stay broken. You know, it's only gotten worse. So until people wake up to that fact, nothing's going to change. And the more people stay ignorant, the more the New World Order is going to just stomp all over them. That's a fact. And you see what's going on over in England and Germany. They're protesting, you know, which is a waste of time. They should be learning the law and taking it to the government and exposing this whole thing. I told someone in Canada I talked to yesterday, I go, the overlay in Canada happened in 1871. United States happened in 1868 with the 14th Amendment and Reconstruction. Each state or country in the world, something happened in the 1850s. People should be looking into that and seeing where they changed. So that's my advice to everyone out there listening. The law is going to fix this, you know, if anything. You know, the people, they should be taking names down to the people that are causing these problems and stop fighting each other in revolution like they've done for hundreds of years now, if not thousands. They pit each one of us against each other instead of going after the problem. Anyway, we're out of time. Any closing thoughts quickly? I think we only got a minute left.
No, definitely thank you for having me on Dare to yeah. Think Out Loud, Mr. Bork. And I'm glad to be here with Scorpio and Mike. I really enjoy these roundtables that we do, and I hope the people out there listening at Revolution Radio enjoy them as well. We may not always agree, but at least we can have discussions like, you know, human beings should be able to without yelling and fighting one another and everything. But definitely thank you for having me on. You guys can find me. We've read the documents on YouTube.
Thanks. We're out of time. Say bye, Mike.
Bye, Mike.
Say bye, Dave.
Okay. Thanks for having me on, LB. Yeah. Have a good one.
Yep. See you next week, folks. Have a good weekend.
Listening to Revolution Radio.